All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2. I'm full of questions at Christmas. We had a question last week. Does anyone remember the question we asked? Why Bethlehem? It's a great question. We tried to answer that the best we could, and there's a lot of reasons and a lot of different reasons that drew people to Bethlehem. This week, you'll never guess what we're going to preach on. Why shepherds? Now, did you see the bulletin cover? Now, that was not all my doing. Some of that was Dan, but I asked him to include the words on the bottom because I just felt that there were so many puns, we could not let it go. We had to throw them in there. Did you catch the puns in there? There's at least two of them in there. Amen. Hey, you know what? A way I look at it is this. If you have to be bored in church, at least you can leave with a keepsake that you can think about later on. Maybe put it on the fridge. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? And now, we're going to talk about why shepherds. And of course, there are a lot of things in Christmas time that are brought in and are snuck in like a Trojan horse that are not necessarily in Scripture, and yet we have them. Now, my plan, my desire, I am not living my life to destroy all of your Christmas traditions. That's not why the Lord put me here at this church. However, as we're going through, I find it sometimes refreshing to see what Scripture actually does say as opposed to what it does not say. And we'll look at a couple of those things. But let's start out by seeing Luke chapter 2 and reading verse number 8. We won't read the entire passage. We will read it as we go through. And that should save us some time so that I can preach longer. Amen? Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. It says, and they were in the same country. Which country? Same country as Bethlehem. It's the first part of the chapter, Luke chapter 2. And so that's where we are. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I think that sheep are close to God's heart. Why are they? There's probably a lot of different reasons. I don't know that they're his favorite animal, but Jesus Christ is likened to a sheep. He's called the Lamb of God. And sheep were probably the first animal that was sacrificed in Genesis to provide coats of skins. Sheep are something that God seems to love. Now, when you talk about groups of sheep, they're called a flock of sheep, and they're similar to birds. Birds are also called by flocks. And sheep, like birds, follow a leader, and they have flock behavior. They have a tendency to do things together. I was watching some YouTube videos because, unfortunately, I was unable to go and work and live on a farm this week, and a sheep farm, but I was able to live on YouTube this week, amen? And that's like every week. And so I was able to watch this. And if you can find, I watched a video, and it was a sea of sheep. I mean, I did not know that they had flocks of sheep that large. I'm not talking hundreds of sheep, thousands. It's probably hundreds of thousands of sheep. Just unbelievable sea. And you watch how they will go, and here's a truck coming through, and the sheep is deciding which direction he's going to go. And typically, he sees, he's afraid, and he just jumps one way, and then he sees somebody, and they all just go together. They have a tendency to go together. And with a sheep, you have less of a need to drive the sheep as you do to lead the sheep. Sheep can be led as opposed to goats, which, from what I understand, they must be beaten in order to be directed any place. Now, sheep are ruminants. They have a rumen. Some of us have rumen in our belly, but it's actually a R-U-M-E-N. It's one of the chambers of the stomach, and it produces bacteria. And it is incredibly healthy for the ground because as it's chewing and all the rumen, it's ruminating. It's going from one place to the other right in the stomach. And some of that stuff comes out on the ground, and it's very healthy for plants. And they say if you get a good, a large enough group, You get our flock of sheep. You can keep your grass really healthy. It's not going to kill. It's going to help it. And it puts nutrients in the ground as they tear that stuff up. They say that you can raise sheep 100% grass. And you don't have to give them any other kind of feed or whatever. Now, I'm not an expert. And if you are an expert, just consider me an idiot. And let's move on from there. Amen? You can send me a PDF or an email if you like as well. And where are these points? But they say that they are very easy to handle and that they're great with kids. That pigs, not so much. And cattle, they're just large. They're just gigantic. And they just stand there. And you have to tell them what to do. Well, I will say this. I enjoy the taste of cattle much more than of sheep. But then again, I wasn't raised on sheep. So I don't have that in there. Now, we asked a question last week, why Bethlehem? We're going to ask, why shepherds? When God, in the Old Testament, was speaking of himself, he multiple times referred to himself as a shepherd. And as a shepherd of his people, his flock, Israel, he would lead them like a flock. When God chose a people for himself, he chose those who were herding sheep. God chose a king named David who was following the sheep. The Bible says that not that he was driving the sheep, but that he was following the sheep. His concern was for the sheep. And God took him and said, I can use a guy like that who's concerned for the sheep. I can use him to lead my people, Israel. In fact, the prophecy is made in the Old Testament that one day there will be a new king that will come, king like David. And he will also be a shepherd, and he will lead his flock. There's so many passages in Scripture about shepherds and sheep, lambs, and the difference between them and goats. You'll see often Scripture use the term flock, flocks and herds. The Lord knows a lot more than I do about the difference between all those things. But the Lord uses that. What I love about the Christmas story is that it's very earthy. It's not F.A.O. Schwartz. It's not... what's the big Babes in Toyland? It's not this gigantic extravaganza with lights and glitter and carols and you know Arnold Schwarzenegger swooping in and and Jingle All the Way type of thing. It's not overblown. It's down to earth. It's just normal life. It's just normal people. And in fact, the shepherds were normal people to the extreme. I think the first reason, I only have a couple reasons with multiple subpoints. But the first reason, amen, sometimes you just wonder, how long, O Lord? How long? When you're sitting in church. That's the number one question on your mind. So I try to help you if I can. The shepherds, I think God chose shepherds because shepherds were simple enough. They were simple enough. What kind of job requires you to be out at night in the elements all night long? Typically, it's going to be more of your entry-level job. Why? Nobody wants to be out in the elements all night long. Nobody wants to be out in the rain and the wind and the sun, and not the sun, of course, at night, but unless you're in Alaska, right? But nobody wants to have to be, you all want to get inside. We all want to get inside with our shelter. We get a little rubber mat for our feet at least, and maybe some coffee. We get something that, you know, keeps us going. But these guys had kind of an entry-level job. First century shepherds were at the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. They were typically uneducated people, poor, and they smelled like dirty sheep. Because dirty sheep smell... You know, like they smell like what dirty sheep smell like. You ever go by a farm or live on a farm? You know, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what you're smelling? You're smelling what sheep produce. And we spend a great deal of time and effort trying to remove the smells that we produce. But the truth of the matter is, we're not really that great when you get down to it. People are disgusting. And you find that out when you can't take care of yourself. Somebody else has to take care of you. You feel very vulnerable. You feel like a baby. Why? Because babies produce what they produce. Sheep produce what they produce. And, you know, I don't know if you know, my hat is off to nurses, nurse practitioners, people who have to deal in nursing homes and in long-term care facilities. They have to deal with the reality of humanity. They can't just, they're not the ones at the front desk. And thank God for people who answer the phone. But typically, they're not dealing with all the nastiness necessarily. They're dealing with just right down where we live. And why are shepherds at the lower end of the economic ladder? Because of what they are dealing with. And because of what they smell like. I've heard multiple stories of guys that were on pig farms that raised pigs. And one case, a lady had a shower on the back porch for her husband. And you will not come in this house after working with the pigs until you shower on the front porch. And I don't know if there was even a covering or anything, just out there in front of God and everybody. But you can't come in here smelling like that. You know, and that's what these guys, they didn't get to come in there. They stayed out there. They're out with the sheep, out in the field. And most shepherds didn't own their own land. And so they would graze from piece of property to somebody else's land, moving on, which of course means that they're grazing their flocks on the land that belongs to their neighbors. Now, I know if they were a cute little lamb, it wouldn't bother you, but what about the stupid dog that keeps coming into your yard? And you call the people, hey, Fido was in the yard again today, right? I don't know about you. I'm not a fan of people's dogs on my yard. Now, if it's a chicken, whatever reason, it doesn't bother me. Chicken, I'm like, look at the thing. Look at the thing go. It's some mechanical marvel. That's awesome. Now, cats, no, we don't have cats on the, you know, but something about dogs, they're just so happy to be on my yard. Running around doing what they do. And you're not coming on my yard and being happy like that. You can go over in his yard and do what you need to do over there. You know, you can imagine you can imagine that kind of scenario. We don't raise sheep, obviously, but imagine if you wake up in the morning and the sheep are just eating all your grass. And they're trampling all of your peonies and they're eating your rose bush. And what are you doing? You're out there in your bathrobe and a cup of coffee, and you're yelling at the sheep, right? What happens is because they didn't own their own land, they just would graze. And as a result, this did not add to their status in the culture in that sense. They're low. Even out in the Western United States, there's a lot of stories told about how shepherds, sheep farmers, sheep ranchers, they sometimes call them, would get into a lot of trouble with cattle ranchers. And there's all kinds of fights over water rights, and guys are, you know, there's blood being spilled, blood in the saddle. And it's crazy. Let me read this to you from a guy that wrote an article, Why Sheep Started So Many Wars in the American West. Just a riveting title. Said this, unlike cowboys who symbolized freedom, sheep herders around the turn of the 20th century represented something undesirable. As historian Daniel Justin Herman argued in, listen to this title, Hell on the Range. It's pretty good. It was a study of the Pleasant Valley War. He said cowboys saw sheep herders as meek, impoverished, mixed blood men, incapable of social improvement and unwilling to seek it. Commanded by wealthy tyrants whose main concern was to perpetuate their tyranny. Everybody wants to be a cowboy, but nobody grows up thinking, I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a shepherd. Well, even to the Egyptians, every shepherd was an abomination to the Egyptians. So I'm saying that they were likely men way down on the totem pole, maybe under the ground in the totem pole there. They were kind. I guess maybe you would say it could be like people who work fast food restaurants. You start out. You're thankful for whatever you can get. You get that job and you hang on to it. You know, and thank the Lord for those people. But you know, we say it almost kind of dismissively. Yeah, or we flipping hamburgers. You know, because in our mind's eye we think no one would choose to stay in that job. Well, that's kind of the way Israel thought about the shepherds. Nobody's going to choose to, if you're going to have any kind of clout in the community and you're going to get any likes on Instagram, you can't be a shepherd. Nobody wants to see you with the sheep in a selfie. That's right. It's like you're not that important. Stop pretending that you are. You're a shepherd. It's not interesting. Move on. Get a real job. And in many cases, it would be people who were perhaps traveling through, or Bedouins, people who were like the Old Testament patriarchs, Jacob, who was a shepherd, and Isaac, who was a shepherd, and Abraham, who had flocks and herds. They roamed around, but they were kind of independent and autonomous. They didn't fit in exactly to society. They're out in the fields. But I think this lends itself to some rare commodities, this place outside of the camp. I think it lends itself to the fact that they were not stuck on themselves. They had some humility. They had the ability to see themselves as they were. You know, that is a very difficult thing as a human being to arrive at. An awareness of who you are. It is not a difficult thing to imagine who you are. We all can do that. But it is very challenging when you find out who you really are. You see, the shepherds here had a low place in society, and so they weren't like, oh yeah, I'm better than all y'all. They didn't have that. They had to take care of the sheep. And people make fun of them. People, you know, throw things at them or say, get off my property. And they would say, just trying to do a job, just trying to do a job. You know, if you don't have the ability to take what somebody actually thinks of you and recognize that maybe that's a legitimate way of looking at me. You ever had that? Most of the time when people give what they think of us, like, that's what you say, that's what you think. But I know how really amazing I am. Other people know what you really are, not what you imagine yourself to be. And the shepherds had that ability to see themselves as, we're humble. Remember David? They invite the prophet Samuel to come, or Samuel shows up and says, I'm coming to anoint the king. And nobody thinks to invite David. All the brothers are there. David's out watching the sheep. Somebody's got to take care of the sheep. We can get anybody to flip hamburgers, and we can get anybody to stand here and hand out tickets. We can do that and just pay somebody minimum wage. That's what David is doing out there. But he had the ability at that point to, secondly, as far as the advantages gained from this, he had the ability to have some time on his hands. He's waiting on the sheep to do what sheep do. And guess what sheep are going to do today? They're going to eat. And they're going to get rid of what they eat. And then they're going to go over here and they're going to eat some more. And then they're going to get rid of that. And we're just going to keep walking around. And that's all we do every day. And then sometimes during certain times of the year, these sheep multiply. And now we have to do the lambing. Now we have to take care of these lambs. And we have to carry them and help feed them. And so this is just like a continual cycle. It's not a job with a lot of surprises. I'm not going to say it's not complicated, because I know enough about it to know there's a lot of things you have to do correctly at the right time. But it's not a job with lots of surprises. It's, in a sense, it's a monotonous job. And what that monotony allowed in their minds was space. Space. Space to think. They had enough mental space to think. Well, I don't want to. I want to get a job that I make lots of money. Well, you know, with that job that you get lots of money comes lots of expectations. A lot of people are expecting you to do things. Well, I want to get in a really big house so you can have a big mortgage. Because that's traditionally what comes with a big house, is a big mortgage. Well, I wish you had a nicer car. Why? So you can have a bigger payment? You see, everything costs something. Everything costs something. So nicer stuff, faster paced life comes with less time and fewer opportunities to think. In a sense, The shepherds mirrored those that they were watching. The shepherds only had one stomach. Sheep had four. But the shepherds developed almost the ability in their minds to do what the sheep did. And that is to bring this up, to regurgitate from one part of their stomach into the rumen, and it would begin to break it down. If you take a piece of a leaf and you ripped it off and put it on the ground, how long would it take to be biodegradable, to go away, to be digested? It would take weeks, maybe months. You put it in the stomach of a sheep, it's going to be digested within hours. The ability to take things around them and to think about them, to focus on things. When's the last time in your life you had time to think? When I say simple, I don't mean stupid. I mean that they were focused, that they were humble. Why did God come and speak to these shepherds? And we'll see how he did it. I think it's because they were simple enough. They were simple enough to feel. Look at verse number 9. And lo, that's short for look. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that it does not say that the angel descended from heaven. In my mind, that's what they do. Angels fly. But in the Bible, angels don't have wings. They show up as strangers. They show up as men that you do not know. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say large men that you do not know. Guys who are built. Big guys, but you don't know who they are. They're just men. And isn't it just like the devil in our culture to turn them into little winged babies? It's like the opposite of angels. It doesn't say that the angel descended. It says, what did the angel do? He came upon them. Well, if we were down south, we might say he came up on them. Right? In fact, there's a place in Acts chapter 12. Let me show you that real quick, just for fun. Acts chapter 12, verse 7. And by the way, the book of Luke was written by... Who do you think it was written by? But by Luke. Very good. You guys are professionals. You know, the book of Acts was also written by Luke. Look what it says in verse number 7. Here's Peter in prison. Luke 12, 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Did he descend from the top of the cell? And a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. This is a man, an angel that looks like a man, comes in with a bright light and kicks him in the side and says, get up, let's go. Kind of like your mom. You're asleep on your bed, and lo, your mom came upon you. And the light shone down upon you. And she kicked you in the side and said, get out of bed. And lo, you raised from sleep. And you marked. You didn't even know you were living the Bible back then. But that's kind of the way I see it in Luke chapter 2. It says, lo, the angel of the Lord, back to Luke chapter 2, came upon them. What does that mean? Again, the earthiness of the Christmas story, the down-to-earth, normal, everyday way. God shows up. When's the last time, or can you look back in your life, when God showed up in your life? And sometimes it was another man, it was a woman that God brought into your life. Now, the difference was the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now, what did that look like? I don't know. I know that there was light in the Old Testament oftentimes. There was that pillar of fire that would show up. I know there was light in the tabernacle. I think it was actually light because it uses the word shone. So we have that. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. But notice that it's the same every time angels show up in the scripture. They were sore afraid. There was something in these men. It was like old school Hulk Hogan knocks on the door and he's standing there. I don't know the new school John Cena, whoever it might be. And you see these people and they come on you. And then let's take that kind of a guy and then add a floodlight. Now you notice, if I almost, it's light outside so we didn't do it, but we could turn the lights off in here and you get used to the darkness. And shepherds were like cowboys. They know you don't look into the fire because you have to be able to see everything that's around in the darkness. And so they're able to see and their eyes are adjusted. And it's amazing that your eye is able to adjust to the darkness and can begin to see things after a while. So they're looking around. They can see everything. All of a sudden, it's almost like a generator rolled in. And one of these police floodlights or construction floodlights gets turned on. It's just like a million watts of light. Boom! And they're afraid. And there's a big old boy standing there. But you know what I like about the shepherds is that they had the ability to feel. They actually could be affected in their emotions. We live in a very cynical, jaded culture. You have to dig a long time to get down under the surface. Why? Because we've seen everything. In reality, we haven't actually physically seen anything. We've seen a screen that shows everything. But if you were to actually live in a real life, in the real world, you may find that you can be affected by things. The problem is we're almost virtually living. We think we've experienced things we haven't. These guys still had the ability to be affected by things that were happening. Are you beyond the point? Are you not able to be affected by things anymore? Do tears come to your eyes? Are you ever excited about anything? Right? Other than coffee? Do you ever have that? Are you affected by? I find myself many times with a very tough exterior. Dismiss, deflect, nah, whatever. Why? You know, if you start listening to Christmas carols in the beginning of November, at some point you may not be affected in the same way in December 25th, right? Why? It's because it's the constant influx, the constant stream of information that's coming at you, right? I mean, sometimes you can even have a steak in front of you and not really enjoy it. Why? Because you eat it so often. Coffee, it means so much more after you've been away from it for a while. Family can really be enjoyable when you haven't been around them, especially when you haven't been around them. Right. When you're always around and always have and always, these guys are living kind of a sparse existence, somewhat of a subsistence life where they are just wandering around the desert, going from place to place. They don't have their, you know, entertainment cabinet on wheels dragging it along with them. They're just kind of living basic and they still had the ability to be impacted. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Does Jesus Christ affect you anymore? I didn't say, do you come to church anymore? Because obviously, you're here. Does he affect you anymore? Does he have the ability to impact you? Are you influenced by him any longer? If you are, when's the last time that he influenced you? They were simple enough to feel. And then they were simple, verse number 10, they were simple enough to hear God's good news. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel has to say to them, fear not, because he's a very scary guy. And he says, I bring you good tidings. You know what I think about that? I just keep thinking, why did the Lord, where was Jesus Christ born? In Bethlehem. Where did the angel come to? He came out in the fields, in the same country, but not in Bethlehem. He didn't show up at the door and tell everyone. He showed up to these guys way out in the field. What's going on with that? Only thing I can think is this. God wanted to tell somebody what had just happened. But it was at night, so everybody's asleep. So he goes and finds some people who are not asleep, and he says, I got to tell you some good tidings. You're going to love this. The shepherds, you know the reason why the Lord told the shepherds? Because they were awake. They actually were thinking. Now, it was the middle of the night, I'm sure, but the Bible says they kept watch over their flock by night, which is a term that's used even in the military settings in Scripture. It is something that is, fasting is denying yourself food. Watching is denying yourself sleep. And there is even a case to be made in Scripture of learning how to deny yourself sleep so that you can worship and pray, so you can read your Bible, so you can spiritually develop some discipline. You know, it's easy for us to just think, there's two things I need and I'll be happy. Food, sleep. Right? As a teenager, I remember thinking, there's no way I can wake up. There's just no way. Physically, it is an impossibility. I don't have the superpower of waking up. I'm just human. What did the old country song say? I'm only human. I'm just a man. I just have to sleep. Right? There was a couple guys here, how many? We don't know. Their job required them to stay awake at night. Now, I don't think it was because the sheep needed someone in that sense, that the sheep were crazy and wild. The sheep got to sleep. What were the shepherds doing? They had to stay awake so that the sheep could sleep peacefully. My hat's off to you, those of you that work third shift jobs, the graveyard shift. I respect that a great deal because I can always remember as a teenager, I realized I didn't have the superpower of staying awake. And some of you don't have that superpower either. Amen. We'll pray that God gives you a supernatural gift from on high to wake up this morning. Amen. You know, these shepherds had something. They were simple enough. They were working this third shift job. They were strung out, so to speak. They were overextended. They were probably tired. But why didn't he share it with them in Bethlehem? He would have, but most of them were asleep and the other ones didn't have any room. The shepherds were awake. And because of the fact that they were awake, you know, something happens when you stay up when other people are asleep. When you're functioning and everybody else is not functioning, something else happens. You know why it's important, I think? I think that is an indication that as a believer, it's important for us to learn to deny ourselves enough to separate ourselves from others for a time with just me and God. Some people say, I just love, you know, family devotions. I love when everybody's around. I love reading my Bible. You know, my kids are running. I can't do that. When I'm reading my Bible and anything is awake, even a mouse, I cannot focus on the Scripture. It's difficult for me. Why? I'm just a curious person. I want to know what's going on. I have a very difficult time reading my Bible if my phone is near me. Why? Because I just want to check, Just one thing. There's like seven notifications. I just got to know what happened to Brother Bueller over on the other side of the universe. I just have to check. You know, all those distractions have a way. The shepherds actually are in the middle of the night and they have an opportunity to focus on the good tidings. How long has it been since you focused on the good tidings of great joy? If you're going to do it, you're going to have to kind of fight yourself a little bit. You're going to have to on purpose do it. How many of you have ever found where you wake up in the morning, you have your coffee, you have your whatever, you watch your ESPN or your Fox News, you look at whatever it is on your phone and you're just relaxed and everything's great and you just, and maybe you're like this, and you just kind of naturally just move to the easy chair and just start reading. You know what normally happens? When you feed your flesh and you allow your flesh to do what it wants to do, you normally just keep promising that you're going to get to the Bible. You keep telling yourself, believe me, I'll read more. I'll read more when I get there. I'm almost there. Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming home. Lord, you know, open now thine arms of love. It's just a moment of time before I'm spending time. And then, of course, the day continues and continues and continues and continues. And in the evening, you're going, I'm so tired. I couldn't possibly worship the Lord now. I couldn't possibly. Lord, I'm worthless to you, Lord. The only thing I can do is watch TV at this point. Lord, there's nothing I can do here. I'll tell you what, tomorrow we're going to restart. Oh, Lord, in the morning, Lord, I can see it, you and I. Isn't it crazy how we are as believers? We keep promising. You know, at some point, something's got to give. If you want to grow spiritually, something's got to give. You know what gave here? Their sleep. They had to give up their sleep. They had to do a difficult job when everybody else was sleeping. And God rewarded them for that. He gave them a special message from the angel, which is a messenger, that nobody else got. No one else in Bethlehem had the angel appear unto them. I like this next part. He said, unto you is born this day. Unto who? Verse 11. For unto you is born this day. Who is you in that passage? The shepherds. For unto the shepherds is born this day a Savior. You know, the good news here is that the Savior was born to the lowest of men. But I wanted to remind you that children are born to their parents. Isaac had a son born unto him. David had multiple sons born unto him. Job had sons and daughters born unto him. But here, the angel says, there's a son born unto you. Unto the shepherds is born. Unto the shepherds? This is Christ the King. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. This is the son of David. The promised seed from Genesis chapter 3. And he's born unto the shepherds. He's not born unto the shepherds. He's born unto God the Father. He's born unto Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his stepfather. That's who he's born unto. But the angel says, no, he's born unto you. Born unto you. You see, these men were awake and thinking and ready and maybe tired, maybe worn out. But this angel shows up and says, I want to give you a special message for you. Christian, when's the last time you had a special message from God? I didn't say some weird, crazy prophecy that you traced on YouTube. Oh, it's amazing. You ever study that out? You ever study this out? This is God's message to you. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Verse number 12 says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Now remember, if the angel's a man, he looks like a man, a stranger, then what about the multitude of the heavenly host? I've always seen them floating down as a glorious choir. And as they come down, they have golden trumpets and they have angel wings. And there is a bright light that overshadows and they sing in soprano, alto, tenor, and bass and a few extra parts because they're from heaven. And it's just amazing. But you know, that's not what the scripture says. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel who's standing there talking to them, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. It's almost as if out of the shadows, a whole bunch of guys just show up and they're all standing around them. You know what drew them? You know what drew these people? It's what always draws the angels. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. But in the Old Testament, you have on the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, you have the cherubim's faces that were looking down on the mercy seat. In the book of Daniel, you have the angels asking the question, how long? How long? In Luke chapter 15, it is recorded that the angels rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, this is the prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels have always been intrigued about salvation. Scripture shows that they are not able, capable of being redeemed. The fallen angels are just that. They're fallen. They never will be restored. And the angels don't understand the concept of salvation. And yet God sends this messenger and he says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And it's almost like God wanted to tell somebody, so he told the angel, and the angel, he went down and told the shepherds, and as soon as he mentioned Savior, all the angels are like, what? What? What's the deal? What are we doing? What's the Savior all about? I've been heard, I saw in the Old Testament, I see what God's doing down through time. This is amazing. This is crazy. And he says, unto you is born this day a Savior. And they say, glory to God in the highest. They all start to shout and to praise God. Why? It's happening. He promised it all these years, and now it's actually happening. We're here. Guys, do you understand how great this is? The shepherds are like, yeah, this is great. It's amazing. And wow, they have no idea what's going on. You know, sometimes I wonder if, as believers, God is not amazed by our praise. He tolerates our praise. He tolerates our Christian life. Why? Because he knows we're just not there yet. We're trying, but we're not there yet. Can you imagine how excited the angels were? You ever try to get somebody pumped up and they're just not quite understanding why you're so excited about it? You ever have someone walk up to you, I've had this multiple times, just crying, overcome with emotion, and they're just like, I just wanted to say. And I'm like, I just want to know what you're talking about. Why? It's just, you're not on the same page. And can you imagine the angels here in the multitude of the heavenly hosts that are just so enthralled? Look over in Revelation chapter 5. Let me show you another passage here where we see a bunch of angels together. Revelation chapter 5. It was almost here as though the angels could no longer keep silence. They had to praise God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. The angel said, The Lamb is worthy. I couldn't help but find that connection. Here they come to the shepherds. God likes sheep, and he likes shepherds. And he comes down and he connects them together, and he wants to give them the good tidings of the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. The shepherds were simple. They were simple enough to feel. They were simple enough to listen. They were simple enough next to believe. Look at verse 15. Luke chapter 2, verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them, where? Into heaven. Just like when Christ ascended. Here's where it seems that they do go into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. These men were simple enough to believe before they saw. They didn't say, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see if this thing is come to pass. They said, see this thing which is come to pass. They decided to go to the Savior because they believed. They decided to go see the Savior because they believed. But notice, what did they believe? It says that they believe this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to follow his words. You're going to have to believe his words. If you're here this morning as a cynic, as a skeptic, let me just remind you, you're not the only one. The devil likes to isolate all of us. If you're here this morning as a recalcitrant, as a rebel, let me remind you, you're not the only one. If you're here this morning as a complete wreck of humanity, let me remind you, you're not the only one. What God requires of all the people, no matter where they may plant their stake in the ground, is that they come to the same place and they do it the same way. Not the same personality, not the same upbringing, not the same parents, not the same difficulties in life, but you come to Christ the same way and you come to the same Christ the same way. Which is that? He said, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Blessed are they that have seen and have not seen, he said. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never seen Jesus Christ. I just don't have enough proof. Well, I can promise you this. You're going to have to believe Jesus Christ and his word before you see him. Because you don't want to see him first. When he comes back to this earth, he's coming with a flaming sword of vengeance. But blessed are they who have not seen and have believed. Young person, have you seen Jesus Christ? I know you've been in church. This is the part where we talk about whether it's real or not. Amen. Why do we always do this? Because going to church is a waste of time without Jesus Christ. It's a bore. And don't think, I'm pastor. I get bored going to church. Why? It's religious exercise. You go into the building, you say, say hi to people, shake their hand, sit down, stand up, sing, sit down, bow your head and close your eyes, even though that's not in the Bible. And you do all these things and you get up and you go out and finally we can eat. It's religious exercise. May I suggest to you the reason is because you have not believed the words that have been spoken unto you. What does God say? Have you placed your faith in him? These men were just simple enough. You say, yeah, they weren't educated. Maybe the Lord passed by the educated people because they weren't awake. Because they were so stuck on themselves. They thought they were so great. They don't need Jesus. Go to the nice areas in town and knock on the door and you can feel the attitude coming through the door when you talk to them. And you try to tell them the gospel. You know why they don't give you any kind of welcoming vibe? Is because they don't actually need Jesus like you weird, crazy people do. Just basic, simple shepherds, right? They're just the guys that nobody, that work in jobs nobody wants, but they're just stupid. They're uneducated. Yeah, maybe you're too educated. Too educated. You're too smart for the one who created you. Now who's an idiot? You don't have to listen to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he didn't come to you the way that you think he should. And I've had some things in my past. And I've had some, and I understand that. I'm not trying to chop your head off. I'm simply trying to share with you that Jesus knows who you are. He knows who you are individually. And he came to tell you that unto you is born this day. Unto me? You mean to all of us as mankind? The brotherhood of... No. Unto you. Individual you. Raised with a silver spoon or raised with your daddy's belt on your back. Raised in a home where drugs was common or raised in a home where worship and church attendance was common. Raised in a wonderful public school where you had wonderful teachers who helped you, or raised in a very difficult place where you were pushed against the locker every day. He's come to you. He's born for you. They were simple enough to believe it. Look what happens in verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Just like he said. Steve Amerson wrote a song. And in that song, he quotes or he uses this concept of the Lamb of God. And he says, a bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would a lamb be born? He is the great I Am, the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Where else would a lamb be born? It was just like the angel told the shepherds, he's going to be lying in a manger, which is a feeding trough. And he comes. They come down there and they find it just as he said. Let me remind you, the word of God can be trusted. You can trust God's word. That's why you're here this morning, is because somebody stepped out on faith and trusted the word of God. And God has passed that message on. That's why we have discipleship. Because we have not only received a great gift, we have a great duty. And that is to pass on what we have learned. To give it to someone else. The shepherds were simple enough to believe before they saw, but thanks be unto God, he gave them visible evidence. They could see with their eyes, they could hear with their ears, the Lamb of God. Why? Because they had believed. Look at verse number 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. Notice that these shepherds were affected enough to share the news. They were simple enough to believe, but they not only believed, it changed their life in such a way they were able to go and say, this is what happened to me. Notice, what did they make known? Verse 17, the saying. Verse 20, it says they were glorifying and praising God, just like the great multitude, for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Verse 15, they saw this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us, over and over and over again. They were impacted enough by the words of the angel that they were able to not only find out that what they believed before they got there was true, but it impacted them enough to take what they had heard and seen and go out and tell somebody else. And notice how the angel kind of started rubbing off on them. Because the angel and the multitude of the heavenly hosts were glorifying and praising God and saying, glory to God. Here we find the shepherds at the end of the story, glorifying and praising God. What happens to the shepherds after this? They disappear. And as far as I know, we never hear from them again in Scripture. You know where they are today? They're glorifying and they're praising God. And they're saying, what he said was true. I was in my dead-end job, working third shift. I was completely wiped off the map. God came to me and gave me a message. He told me about Jesus Christ. And I went and I found Jesus Christ, and he was exactly, matter of fact, he was way better than anybody had ever told me. And I put my trust in him for my salvation. And I haven't done anything since but tell other people about how wonderful he is. Why shepherds? I think because the shepherds were simple enough to just believe. They were humble enough to be told, and they were affected enough to share that with somebody else. So my point to you is asking you, are you like a shepherd? Are you simple enough to believe? You say, well, I will if I could give my questions. No, right now are you? You say, I don't know that I am. Well, then how about praying this morning? Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I dare you to pray that prayer to God. God, I have doubts about you. Pray it. You got to be simple enough to listen. And if you're too proud to even listen, God can't work with you. If you have believed, how has it affected your life? Did you tell anybody about the Lord this week? Are you planning to tell anybody? This is not a guilt trip. I'm simply saying, you told them about the sale at Costco, right? You told them about the Amazon deal of the day. You got to get this. What about the good news of salvation eternal? What about the thing that's going to help them for eternity, not just getting good deals today? Not just, did you watch the game last night? But did you hear the story of Jesus Christ? These things have to pay. And I get it. I get it. Church is so weird. You hear the same thing over and over. You know it, you know it, you know it. I'm just telling you, you've got the new nature of Jesus Christ in you, and he wants to do something different with you than you've ever seen done before. He wants to do something and bring new life into you. You might be 75, you might be 15. He wants to do something in you. He wants to do something in your daily, boring, ritual life that you have. He wants to show up, and he wants the glory of God to affect you for the rest of your life. So ask God, Lord, have you been talking to me this week and I haven't been listening? Lord, if you have been talking to me, help me to have the courage and the faith to go and spread abroad the saying which was told me concerning this child. Help me, God, to glorify and to praise you and make an impact in someone else's life. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.